Hey, we are here for another episode of the Rock Life Podcast. How are you all doing today? Hey, today we are going to be jumping into our new series that we started here at the Rock Church and Word Outreach Center. So stay tuned all the way through. My name is Antonio. I'm here with Pastor Dan.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Pastor Dan?
I'm well. Doing good.
This weekend, we kicked off a new series.
Yeah.
And it was great. And so we are going to get into that. And I'm really excited about that. I know we, again, it's always really encouraging. I want to say I heard of at least two or three people that came up to me over the weekend. Again, we get to shake hands at the doors. And they hey, hearing the podcast, encouraged. So, again, I know we've talked about that's some of our gauge sometimes, the feedback that
yes,
we get.
Love to hear. And if you have comments or questions even, we would love to hear from you guys on social media, email, backdoor, whatever, you know. We would love to, discuss things, especially if you have questions about the message. You know, we're unwrapping the sermons and in some ways unpackaging things that we don't get to talk about during the sermon, which has kind of been fun.
It is.
I enjoy it because we always study more than we preach. Mm-hmm. So there's a ton of stuff that we don't get to.
Yeah.
So, if you do have any questions or, hey, can you give me more on this or whatever, we'd love to hear from you guys and be able to encourage you and serve you well.
Yep. I love it. Pastor, I am in a sweatshirt. I don't know if you realize that. A couple things if you're watching. This is our RockCon sweatshirt, but it really is across the board. We got these. We did a rerun.
Oh, did you?
So that's encouraging.
I know we sold out at the conference. So
we did.
I mean, that's a great design. I love the Holy Ghost in the R making the C. And I mean, it's just.
Right? That's cool.
Yeah, really neat.
And we had these only in the pink fuchsia color.
Yes.
And now we have them in the Navy.
More manly for the Navy.
Yes.
Huh?
So I'm rocking my crew sweatshirt.
Good job.
So that's to announce about that we did a rerun, but also that it's sweater weather.
Is it?
Maybe not.
Is it though?
I love how you said that. It's supposed to be. I'm trying to inform my mind.
October. So I mean, the rest of the world is probably experiencing that, but not us.
So it is technically fall here in 2024. Yes. Don't know when you're listening to this. Technically autumn, fall time. This is not your favorite time of the year.
I'm a summer guy through and through. That's part of the reason why I'm in Southern California. Yeah. I've traveled the world, and I just love California, specifically Southern California. Some people want four seasons. I like the one that I get.
That's true. Yeah, I can see that. I guess, when like the hot prolonged heat is just like,
I love
to
it.
Me, I'm just like, come on now. I need some cold weather.
Nah.
At least the mornings have been cool, though.
Yeah, they have been.
The mornings know it's fall, it seems like.
And I can appreciate a brisk morning.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's something to me about the heat. I'd much rather be hot than cold.
Right.
And I don't know why that is. Some would probably say it's because I don't have a lot of meat on my bones.
Well,
let's
say you're thin, you're fit. We'll say fit, not skinny. We'll say you're fit.
I like that word. But, I've always loved summer. Always enjoyed the heat. Always enjoyed, water sports and things like that, and being at the beach. Everything that we get to do as Californians, hiking, all that good stuff,
That's true.
If it's too cold, I don't know. My body literally shuts down. I remember one time I was with the kids. We took them to Disneyland, and it got so cold, and I had a coat, but I was just done. And I looked at Jessica, and I was just like, I've got to get out of here.
Right.
It was just like my body's shutting down.
Because like stiffing up.
Everything. Yeah. My mind is like, I don't know why the cold affects me that way, but just like I couldn't think straight. I couldn't, I was just done.
Well, that's true. And if I get my ears get really cold and then like it freezes my head a little bit, maybe that's what it is. I don't think that's a thing. But
head freeze, brain freeze.
Well, so then that kind of answers the question I was going to ask. What I was going to ask was what are some fall or autumn activities that you enjoy? Or
while there's not a lot, I do, many people know that I like photography, and so the fall leaves are always a great thing. I love landscapes. Years ago we traveled up to Mammoth, and they had the aspens changing color, and then literally there's rows of trees that are where the water comes down the mountains, and the trees all turn orange, and it looks like a river of fire coming down the mountain. It's pretty cool. So those are fun things. I love hiking, so I love getting outdoors and that sort of a thing. This is a great time to go to, like, Joshua Tree.
Yeah.
If you like the desert and big rocks and things.
It is really pretty,
So that's a great spot. And I do appreciate, even though it's fall, it's still in, like, the 70s, 80s.
Yeah.
And so, you know, anything outside, I'm just down for, you know. So bike riding, hiking, walking, paddleboarding, golfing, you know.
We're pretty spoiled.
Yeah, we're pretty spoiled. True. So,
because even in our cold, I'm quoting air quotes cold, it doesn't really prohibit any of our hobbies.
Not that much. And if you want snow, you can drive up to it in the mountains and things like that. So, you know, but yeah, fall activities. I like all that. You know.
Yeah. I think about how, you know, I see on social media, like, people putting away their lawnmowers for the winter. And I'm just like, what's that? You know, like,
yeah, no,
we don't have to do that. You know, I don't have to adjust things on our hoses. And
I think maybe every other week and, you know, we kind of do less water.
Right. But you know how they put
oh, I got
like,
you. Yeah.
Change out their don't have to do.
No, we don't have that kind of extreme hot and cold to where we have to do that stuff. So. Yeah, my parents used to own a little cabin up in Big Bear, and they had to winterize it and all that.
Oh, yeah, winterizing.
But,
there you go.
I mean, down here.
Summarize? Anyways.
That sounds like the end of the podcast.
Let's summarize this thing. Okay. Well, Pastor Dan, let's jump into it, because maybe people are tired of our banter. I like our conversations.
I'm glad we like it,
But I don't know if y'all do, but. You're not in the room with us, so I mean.
Yeah. Again, if there's a subject you want to hear about,
And put it in the comments. We should do another live recording. That might be fun.
That'd be fun.
So, Pastor Dan, we are kicking off again, because this is the whole idea of the podcast right now, is to discuss and go into topics from and feedback from our message.
Yeah.
Our son. This is supplemental. We want to encourage you to listen to our weekend messages. That is another podcast. Rock Church and Wood Outreach Center has the weekend messages, and you can hear all the podcasts of all the messages. And that's a great resource. Ways that, you know, prayer, read your Bible. Sermons are awesome.
Yeah.
And then this podcast, again, is going to be specific to our weekend messages. So we started a new series within Romans. We're in our book series, but within the series are actions and attitudes. And I thought you just kicked it off. So well, because I'm thinking, just, you know, this podcast has been a very practical approach, but the entire message was, I was even just thinking about questions for it. I'm like, it was a very practical message.
Very. Yeah. And that was intentional. That was by design.
Yeah.
I think this second part, we're going to dive deeper now that we've got those foundations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything. If you get the foundations down, then the rest of it is leaning on that foundation, right? So I think that's where we had to get that, because one precedes the other. Your attitudes precede your actions.
Yeah.
And if we get the attitude right,
oh, that's good.
Then we'll get the action right.
I love that. See, now that paints, okay, I see that. I see where you're going.
Yeah.
Because so the points were position yourself to learn, position yourself to do, position yourself to grow, which I almost see you do the first two and you're going to grow. Right,
yes.
Like do the first two and the third will come.
Yeah, and I think the emphasis of that third one was more about being patient with yourself, because we're not going to get it right every time, you know, and we're going to stumble, we're going to fall. And so we need to be patient with ourselves while we grow, because God's being patient with us. You know, we saw that even in the wrath of God and how God's patiently giving us time to repent and that sort of thing. But God also is a father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like with your girls, you know, you've got little girls. When they were learning how to walk, you weren't like, oh, gosh, you fell again.
Right.
You know, like, you just, no, get up. Mm-hmm. Let's try again, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think that people don't understand God's not frustrated with us like we get frustrated with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we've got to give ourselves the grace to be able to grow and to learn. And really, I guess mature is a good word for that.
Yeah.
So that's really where the emphasis of that is. But yes, by doing the learning process and doing process, you're going to grow. You're going to mature. So yeah, that's a you know, outcome that's going to happen.
Well, even, you know, you use the term positioning, right? Or posturing, right?
Yes.
Like putting yourself in these positions or places to have opportunities. It wasn't just go learn, go do. It's position yourself.
Yeah, that's the attitude.
Right.
Right. The attitude, we said again, precedes the action. So if you're not positioned to learn, you'll never learn.
Ah, see that. Okay. So the attitude kind of is our mental approach.
Yeah. So that's where when I use the root of what the attitude is, it surprised me when I was studying this out, because it was talking about art and about sculpture and things like that.
Yeah.
The attitude was literally the position that they were putting the model or putting painting or, you know, whatever it was that they were doing. That was the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you've got, you know, you can remember some of the classic, you know, Renaissance, you know, where they've got even God casting Adam and Eve out of the garden. There's very famous paintings of that. What's the attitude of God? His hand is out.
Right.
They're being pointed out of Eden, right?
Yes,
that's the attitude of God, right?
Yeah.
The attitude of Adam and Eve, their heads are down. They're covering their faces. They're walking away with their backs turned to God out of the garden. That's their attitude.
Yes. Okay.
So it's an interesting thing.
As a visual person, like, I'm seeing it, right? Like, I'm seeing attitude as a positioning.
And that's why I said posture yourself or position yourself, right? Mm-hmm. To learn. So so that position, that attitude is, I'm ready.
Right.
I want to learn. You know. Okay, God. You know, you take the position of a student.
Mm-hmm.
You're seated at God's feet. Okay. What do you want to say? You know. Right. That's where in the morning when you get up and you read your Bible, the attitude is, I'm approaching this not just to tick a box I gotta read. No, God, I want to learn.
Right.
And I'm expecting that as I read this, you're going to speak to me, open my mind, open my heart to receive what it is that the Spirit is speaking, and help me to understand these things so that I can learn what it is that you have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the humble position that God exalts, right?
Yeah.
It's the position that says, I'm not taking the highest place. I don't know everything. I need God to speak to me and teach me about these things. So that's the attitude that we take, is the attitude of a student, of a learner, humble. I'm just, you know, I'm coming to learn. I'm coming to grow.
Well, one of the reasons why I felt it was so practical is because the way I thought about it as, you know, because there are people in our congregation that hear this message that are great at what they do.
Sure.
Whether it be, you know, they're craftsmen and women, they're chefs, cooks, teachers, instructors, mechanics, where they took the time, electricians, whatever it is, they took the time to do these things. They went through these steps.
Yeah.
They trained, they learned, they grew, they did. And so such is so in our walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way that you did that in your profession or in your hobbies, right? I like woodworking. I'm not the greatest. But, you know, you watch YouTube videos. You try, you learn, you grow, you mess up. A lot of growth comes out of messing up.
Right, yeah.
Right, and some of those lessons almost have to be done, you know, until I tried it and did it. But I did notice for myself, and probably for many others, sometimes those mess-ups can take you out.
Sure, and that brings us back to point number three, right? Positioning yourself to grow, that you're not ready to give up when you mess up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the beautiful thing about the grace of God, the beautiful thing about the mercy of God. And the beautiful thing about God's patience with us as a father is that as we're learning, as we're doing, we're not going to get it up right all the time, because we still live in this fleshly body, right? And we're not perfected yet. There will come a day.
Right.
I'll get a new body. The sin nature will be gone. I'll see as I've seen and know as I'm known.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be some amazing things that take place. I'll get that resurrected body. And you know, it's going to be a different scenario at that point. Now, different.
Right.
The flesh gets involved. My mind gets involved. When the two link up together, my goodness, I'm carnal. you know, so that's where we have to stay in the Spirit. That's where we have to stay learning.
Yep.
That's where we have to stay growing. And then when we mess up, we have the maturity to say, I'm not going to allow this to take me out.
Yeah.
It's good to feel bad about your sin. It's good to feel bad about making a mistake, right? Yeah. Because then you're going to not want to do it again.
Right. They're gauges, right? They're gauges for us.
Absolutely. And we have to pay attention to those things, because if you don't feel bad when you screw up, there's something wrong inside, right?
Yeah.
So we got to keep our conscience tender and open to God and not calloused and you know, oh, I just messed up again, I'm out, you know, whatever. That we stay in that position that says, okay, I messed up. Oh, I hate that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do that again, but I'm going to learn. I'm going to grow. Like you said, you know, first time you're using a router and you totally screw up the edges of this thing and you made a terrible mistake, you know, and you're like, okay, and burned the wood, all that kind of stuff and spent all this time just to have it at the end.
Right.
Yeah, I messed up, right?
Yeah.
So what do? You get a new piece of wood, And you start over and you do it again. You try it again, you know, and maybe this time before you do it on the actual wood, you have a practice piece of wood that you're doing the edges until you get it to where you're not burning it. It looks nice. You go, okay, that's it. And then you do it on the wood, right? And not every mess up that we encounter is going to be sin. I think that's the other thing, too, is sometimes people, you know, sin is one thing. Trying something for God and not accomplishing it, that's another thing. You know, there are things that we can do that maybe aren't sinful, but they aren't productive. They aren't sinful, but they aren't, you know, where we need to be, you know. And I think that's where Pastor Jim used to say, I'd much rather fail trying something for God than succeed at not doing anything. Right? And that's the growth process. That's the maturity that says at least we're doing something. You know, so that's the position though. That's the heart that says, I'm gonna get out there and try it. I have the right attitude that says I'm in this.
Well, let's throw in this. There's another thought on top of this is, on top of the beautiful layout that God gives us, He also gives us and models discipleship. He places us in family or community, and oftentimes fellowship. So now, if you want to look at the practical, there are things called fellowship in academia. You take fellowships where you're basically coming, you're within a sustained program where you're coming alongside, learning these things. You know, it's if I took a training or a class on woodworking, yes, I would still mess up. Yes, I would still make mistakes. Yes, I would still have to do the learning and the growing and the doing. But I would do that within the context of with someone. And that's another element. Guys, we're not alone. We are not alone. You know, we are a church. We are a community. We are an ecclesia. We are a gathering. And there are people and we are, it's why we don't just listen to the podcast and go home. You know, I'm grateful you're listening to the podcast. I hope you have some takeaways. But man, I in my own life, and I know that you, through stories you've had, and you can even add more now of, in your learning and in your doing and in your growing, a lot of that contribution came from Pastor Jim, a father, a brother in Christ, sharpening each other, saying, hey, man, I still remember when Pastor Joseph, hey, man, I see your eyes wandering. We were young single men. I see your eyes wandering. What are you doing? Like, oh, man, I'd never been called out before. But that was in the context of Christian brotherhood. In my mind before this, it was like, this is what we all do. But in the context, it was like, oh, it was a call out. And it was in community. And it's like, hey, we're, let's be better. Let's grow. Let's learn. And let's do. Turn your eyes down. Whatever it might be. You walk through these things. You walk through life in these things. And we're getting better.
That's the neat thing about being lifelong learners is that in the context of community, you're going to be better because you're sharpening one another, you know? And like you mentioned, as a young man, there's certain things that we deal with. As older men, there's other things that we deal with, And I think that's where, as we mature, as we grow, you know, there's new levels, new devils, new things that we're going to encounter, things that we're going to come across. You know, I think about it. You talked about people that are good at what they do as far as their work or their occupation, that sort of a thing. My brother works in the healthcare industry, and he has ongoing learning because obviously as they learn new things about the science of what they do, they're rolling out these new practices and new understandings and things like that. And so he's required to go to those trainings. You know, and I think sometimes people think of Christianity as, oh, I've read the Bible, I have prayed, I have witnessed, I have gone on a missions trip, or, you know, sometimes people do everything that they think that, that can be done, and they think the only thing left for them to do is, like, pastor a church, you know, and they end up getting out of the church because they feel like, well, I've done it all, and what else is there, and that, that must be the pinnacle as being a pastor. It's not the pinnacle. You know, this is a lifelong process that we're continuing to grow and continuing to mature in. And as we learn and as we do, there's more to learn. You know, there's more to experience. There's more to do, right? Not just the religious side. And that's where, in obviously, Romans, Apostle Paul's talking about the religious. You know, he's shifted from the ungodly to the moralist, and now the religious is on the stand, and he's saying, you think you're out of this just because you've got the religion side of this down? You know, I prayed, I read the Bible, I went to Bible college, I did this, I did that, you know.
Yeah.
We check all these boxes, and we think, well, what's left, you know? Mm-hmm. And God's saying, you don't got it.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong learning.
Yeah.
It's something that you need to understand that you're doing for the long haul.
Yeah.
And because of that, you're always going to be growing.
Well, let's add this. You gave me another thought. Let's add a fruit component.
Yeah.
That along the way, there is going to be fruit.
Yes.
In other words, and I speak to myself and people like me who like the idea of checking a box and going through. I did the learn. Okay, Pastor Dan, you gave the 3 points. I did those.
Right.
Now the next thing, right? But there's going to be fruit along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. As we are learning and then doing, we're going to be growing. In that growth, there's fruit.
Right.
We stop. Enjoy the fruit of great relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoy the fruit of finding success, whether it be relationally, financially, spiritually. And you're stopping, breathing it in. Kind of, it makes me think of, you know, your hobbies. You go to a lake where you in your photography, you are seeing the fruit of a change of seasons.
Yeah.
Right. And you're stopping to take breaths. And if we don't enjoy fruit of life, what a gift that God gives us, that there's seed time and harvest.
Yeah.
Then it will just be, I have to get to the pinnacle. I got there and it all seemed, what is all nothing, right? It is Solomon. That is like, I wonder if Solomon, did you not enjoy the fruit within your 700 wives? You know, like, is there not a time where you just ever took it in? And maybe I wonder if there's the elements of the taking in the fruit that we're seeing in life. And then if there isn't fruit, then maybe we're not doing it well. Is fruit a gauge? Is that a fair? Maybe that's a question I have.
You know, Jesus actually said that we're to be fruit inspectors, right?
Right.
And talked about that. You'll know them by their fruits.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, absolutely, I believe it's a gauge. I think it's something that if God is looking for it, we ought to be looking for
it.
Right? And if you're not producing fruit, then it's time to go back and learn.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Come on.
Right? What am I doing that is not producing? Or is there something choking the word? Is there... you know, a heat source, some sort of persecution that's stopping me from taking root.
Mm-hmm.
Is the devil involved in this?
Right.
Is he stealing away that seed? What is happening in my life? And go back to learning. You know, I like the sport of golf. I'm not great at it, you know, but I remember someone told me, just take one lesson, you know, and then practice that. And then once you get that down, go and take the second lesson. Well, I took one lesson. And the guy took a long time just to talk to me about my hands.
Mm.
And that was just it. It was just about hands, you know?
Yeah.
And he said, when you come back, you can do this, you can do this, you can do that. But when you come into the center, I want your hands right here. And it was like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
And so what I would do is I'd take back, and then when I come through, I would stop to see where my hands were.
Right.
You know? And there were times where my hands would be like this,
mm-hmm.
which opens up the club face, which means I'm going to get a slice, which
I
normally do. I drop the shoulder, whew, you know, I'm on the right side. At least I'm always on the right side. But it was part of that thing that, hey, why am I not hitting straight?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the reason why. When you come through that center, you want that club face to be absolutely flat so that it hits it where you're aimed.
Right.
Right? So that one lesson, that one thing was what I've been working on
mm-hmm.
for I don't know how many years since I had the lesson.
Right.
I tried getting a second lesson, by the way.
Yeah.
Dude was doing inventory, couldn't make it, forgot, double booked himself. And so ended up never getting the second lesson. But I'm still trying to get my hands where I'm flat in the center. You see what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. What is the fruit? What is the product?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not the right product or there is no product,
then,
okay, God, give me a lesson.
Yeah.
What am I doing wrong? He might
Come
say,
on.
Hey, what are you doing with your hands?
Yeah.
What are you doing with your mind? What are you doing with your eyes? What
that's
are you doing
a whole
with your
word,
ears?
Pastor.
Yeah.
That's a whole word. Why? Because people get frustrated because I did the checklist.
Yeah.
They're expecting on to the next season
when
they never inspected the fruit. Or the fruit that you had was bad.
Right.
So there's something in the growth process that didn't work. But yet we fast forward to the next season. I did this. You said to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if maybe... out of if it's religion within us, our natural as just humans tendencies to want to check boxes or whatever, that would have us to skip past and think that we have to rush. Mm. And you know, I get this. My parents both did they did work in the fields, and they would just, I don't know if you see now on social media, there's these videos of farm workers just kind of filling their baskets, and they throw the baskets up on the truck, and you get paid on the baskets, how many basket fills.
Oh, wow.
But what you don't do is you don't pick each one, throw it away if it's bad. Like, you're just bringing all the fruit in.
Whatever you can get.
But that's not our walk with God, right? I mean, I mean, we do pick, but if you were to notice at the end of the day, because you have to stop, observe, take in, and you saw these baskets full of fruit and they was rotten, like, you would have to identify. But then you want to wake up the next day. You picked a whole load of rotten fruit, and then the next day you just want to do it again.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you said they get paid by the basket.
Right.
See, I think that's the thing is, what is the reward?
Right.
What is the wage that we're looking for?
Come on.
And that's where religion, you know, specifically back to Romans, what we're talking about, religion gives you a false positive in the sense that your wage is expected that, hey, I did all this.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But God never says that it's by in the doing all this that you're going to receive salvation, produce fruit, all that kind of stuff, right? It's more in the faith.
Yep.
And it's more in the abiding. And you know, gosh, man, I tell you, I used to read chunks of the Bible. I often tell my Bible reading journey started when I was 15. I was in church, got saved. I'd been in church all my life, but finally gave my heart to the Lord at 15.
Yeah.
And I was probably that classic altar call person. You know, you were raised in church, your parents told you you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. All the stuff that we say, that was me. I was leading worship in my youth group before I was ever saved. But there came a moment where I realized I need to get saved. And my pastor at the time challenged our church. He said, if you read 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sundays, you read through the Bible in a year. I devoured it. You know, I went through it and read it in 8 months and then started over. And it's just been a lifelong journey. Well, came to the point I started coming to The Rock and was dating Jessica. And obviously Jessica's dad was the pastor at The Rock at the time, Pastor Jim. And so I remember being at the house and we were having dinner and that sort of a thing. And he came in from outside with his Bible under his arm. And he said, I just read Nehemiah. Been years.
Yeah.
Blew my mind.
Right.
I was like, wait a second, hold on. You're a pastor, and you just said it's been years since you read one of the books of the Bible. That didn't compute. It was like you're supposed to read those every year. Like at least once.
You have maybe to do the whole Bible in a year.
Two, three times a year.
And depending on how big your church is, the more you read.
Oh my gosh. So for his church, he should have been, you know, like 6 times in by that time. Right. You know, so it blew my mind. And he started to share, you know, I'm not a good reader. I have to read very slow. Oftentimes he would read with a dictionary because he didn't understand the words.
Wow.
And so if he really wanted to understand what was being said, but that's why he had such deep, profound insights into the scriptures was because he had to pull apart every little piece. Okay, what does sanctification mean?
Right.
All right, because
I
got to understand what this whole verse is saying. You know, and sometimes like the Apostle Paul, there's some run-on sentences.
Yeah. Right.
You know?
He's a talker.
a
writer.
Preach for 3 hours and, you know, dude falls out the window and dies. Is a talker.
It's an encourager for preachers.
Sure. 100%, man.
Did anyone die on your watch because you were going so long?
Man. Yeah. Preached all night. Raised the dude from the dead and went back to preaching. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
Right? So, so there's a lot to understand, so you'd have to break it down. But that was a turning point for me in my Bible reading because I started to slow down. And I think that's part of the thing is that when you talk about abiding, it's not in the doing and the activity and the rush. You know, I know that our second point was do, but at the same time, in your doing, it's even because you've learned and you're prepared and you're doing it in Him and you're doing it by faith. I mean, there's just still that connectivity. That in your doing, you're not doing it alone. You're not doing it out of a religious experience. You're doing it because it's a product of what you've learned. It's who you are. This is what I do. See, because I'm a believer, this is what I do. It's the product of what's gone on inside of me that is now producing this fruit, right? And then, like you said, there may be things in there that rotten, doesn't make the cut, and that's where we grow, right? Some things need to be pruned.
Yep.
You know, I love what it says. Jesus said, any branch that doesn't bear fruit, my Father either prunes or some translations also talked about that He cleans it or that He lifts it up.
Yep.
And I love that just because you think about the care of the vine dresser. cleaning off the leaves so that the dirt's not on it, and then lifting it up to, you know, the trellis or whatever it is. And that trellis was a stake. It was a straight pole like this. And that represents the word of God. You think about it, it's the measuring line.
Right?
It's the straight edge that we prop our lives up on, that if we're holding on to the truth of God's word, we're going to produce fruit. Because God has lifted us up to the stature of his son, Jesus Christ, the word of God. And that's where we live. You know, that's the attitude that says, I'm humble. I got to learn this. I got to do this. You know, I'm going to incorporate this in my life because I believe I'm going to do. But then I know I'm not going to be perfect at this. So I'm going to mature. I'm going to grow. And I'm going to continue to have that attitude that is in this for the long haul. That's looking forward to production, not rushing production. You know, not growth hormones and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, six easy steps and, you know, you're there. You've arrived.
You talked about how you have fruit trees in your yard. There's been different seasons where some didn't bear fruit, whether it was this or that. And you might find like, oh, man, this tree is dead, or this tree. Well, oh, shoot, the irrigation is broken. Or you know, there are. And so there is that inspection. Inspecting of our fruit. Identifying the challenges, what's wrong, not so that you could bring shame to your tree, right? Shame on you, tree, you know, so you can address those needs. And so the same in our lives is, as we inspect the fruit of our lives, not to bring shame on us. Oh, man, I keep messing up here. Well, what's the issue? Oh, I keep messing up in this area because I still have these habits that I've not addressed. I'm still messing up in this area of maybe it's lust. Well, you're open. You keep this door open. You keep watching those shows that even in and of themselves, they're not, it's not like it's anything crazy, but you know what it is. Or music. You allow certain music and like, shoot, let me check these irrigations. Let me check this system. And if we weren't inspect or check, then we wouldn't be able to see or know what the challenge or problem is. You know, I thought about, you know, you guys have often shared how, and it might have been more as the kids were younger. You talked about, you know, at dinner times, you were very intentional to sit the kids down or have conversations, and you kind of go through some questions that really were, the idea of the questions were to prime the pump to get conversations going. And you were developing a relationship, and you're developing habits within them to share with you, to laugh, to talk about the day. Those are all great habits. But I bet you there was some days where it's maybe the kids wanted to do something else or just wanted to get through dinner, and they're like, oh, sit down. Okay, this is what happened. This is my high. This is my low. And it's like, because their mind is somewhere else. And I wonder if we approach God with the checklist of, all right, let me do this, 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 and that. When the whole reason for the systems, or God designed some of these things, in this case, the parents, is because they're developing a relationship with the kid, because really you're caring to connect. It wasn't so much the question. It wasn't so much the process. It was like that was just the system to build and integrate these conversations. But if we land on a system, or you know, you identify some points and we take it to God and go, all right, God, I did boom, 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 boom. This is my day. This is my high, you know, and I prayed. I read the Bible. When God's like, man, I just, this was my way of having this conversation with you, because I want to get to know you. And I don't, I think how many of us as believers have been in that place. And that's what I think about in this message, Pastor Dan, our attitudes and actions, going back to the idea. And this is what the word of God is sharing with us, Any kind of thoughts as we kind of land the plane? I know we're going to go into other messages in the series. But just the heart of the takeaway, and how can you prepare us, you know, like
You know, I think this is where all of us have to deal with that religious spirit that formalizes and legalizes what God meant to be relational. And so as we look at these things, again, we've got three very practical points, but they were never meant, like you said, to be a you know, step one, step two, step three. It's really an attitude. It's really a heart posture that positions us for the relational aspect of what we're doing, not just for God, with God. Right? Absolutely, we're servants. Absolutely, we're slaves of righteousness. There's things that we do because God tells us to do it, not because our flesh wants to. But at the same time, He is our Father. He's our friend. I mean, there's some beautiful expressions in the Word of God. Jesus is our brother. He's the captain of our salvation. I mean, there's a gratitude for the things that he's done. And so in that, where we can see that our flesh would take the wonderful things that God gives us and formalize them and then legalize them. Mm-hmm. This is the way. This is the only way. This is how. These are the things, you know. Jesus encountered it when his disciples didn't wash their hands the right way, you know, before they ate. And he's going, guys, whatever you put in your body is just going to get taken out of the body. Right, it doesn't even go to the heart. It goes in the stomach.
Right.
And it's a physical thing. It's not even a spiritual thing. It's not what goes in that matters. It's what comes out.
Yeah.
And I think, like you were saying, the fruit production, what's coming out of our lives. As we look at those things, as we look at the attitudes behind them, you know, I think that's where the rubber meets the road. We can identify those things. If I'm producing this fruit, even if it's religious, right, what's the attitude behind religion? The attitude is that I want to do this because I want to be right.
Yep.
And yet God offers righteousness to us through faith. If you're a believer, you're already right.
Yeah.
So because you're right, then you can produce what is right from inside. And that comes through the abiding process, you know, not through the religious process.
Yeah.
And that's the different mindset. It's a pendulum shift. It's hard. Believe me, I have a religious mind. Right. I have a religious expression of my life. I was raised in Christianity. And my mind was, okay, this is Christianity. This is how we do it. All right. And that's what I'm going to do. Not because of the heart.
Right.
Because of the...
Man.
Legalistic, this is the expression. And that wasn't put on me by my parents. That wasn't put on me by the churches. That was just my own experience. Yeah. And that's one of those things that we wrestle with. Just as we wrestle with the moralists, you know, that I'm better than they are, so it must be okay if I'm I'm not that good in these areas, but I'm still not this and not that. And we justify our sin. The religious, it's empty, right? It's a structure that the devil would love for us to set up because it disconnects us from God, but it keeps us in the deception of thinking, well, and I'm all right just because I've done these religious things. This next section of scripture, we're, the Apostle Paul goes after it, just like he did the moralist. You know, are you doing this and then yet you're doing the same things? He comes after it specifically and lists a whole lot of things that are great that we say, these are wonderful things. But then he goes, but then are you doing this, this, this? I mean, just calls them out. And it's like, whoa. And I think that, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to call some of those things out in us. And that's where, even if it gets rough, you know, hey, lean into it, because God is obviously wanting to rid us of religion and get us into that relational aspect so that we can learn, do,
and
grow with him.
Come on, Pastor. Wow. Is this going to be a two-parter, three-parter? What do you
know, at present, I think I'm about two.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a third part in there, so I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to reveal that to me. I'm excited to look forward. Again, if you want to read ahead, you can kind of see where we're going. So starts talking, you know, he's still talking to the Jews specifically, and starts talking about circumcision and uncircumcision and advantages, disadvantages, different things like that. So we'll see where the Holy Spirit lands. Right now, I know there's a definitely... You know, a second part coming. I don't know about part three. We'll see.
Good. Well, you got to stay tuned.
Yep.
Hey, we love you guys. Thanks again. Like, share, subscribe, whatever it is, man. We'd love to hear from you. And God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.